Hey, yo, and here we go. Sweet Talk Comics, WTC, number 54. That's right, we've done 54 of these bad boys. I am Mo, the Crown Prince of Charisma. I've been gone for a little while, just like my buddies here, and it was all my fault. I'm very sorry, guys. Can't tell you how much I'm looking forward to coming back and talking comics, though. Didn't realize how much I'd miss this till I was gone. You know, I didn't miss you guys, but I did miss talking comics. Anyways, we got with us Chris. What have you been reading, watching, doing while you were gone?
You know what? I saw a lot of new movies. Haven't been reading a lot of comic books. In fact, I think this is the first time in my life that I spent an entire week, and I only read the ones we chose to review last week. Unbelievable. And I also realized I don't know what uncanny means. No idea.
How about you, Keith? What have you been reading, watching, doing?
Well, if canny means cunning, shouldn't uncanny
mean not
that
cunning?
That can't be it, though. That can't be it.
You are not. We are the not cunning X-Men.
I read The Complete Echo by Terry Moore, which was a great read. I picked that up at San Diego from Terry Moore himself. Soft cover all 30 issues in one ridiculously gigantic 600-page package. And been trying out some of the new fall TV shows. Tried Arrow, which I enjoyed, but it didn't wow me. Tried Last Resort, which I quite liked.
Chris, did you check out Arrow?
Yeah, I actually was pleasantly surprised. I wasn't expecting a lot. It didn't blow me out of the water, but they got a lot to work with. Surprisingly close to what they did with the Grell run. Really kind of a dark character. He actually kills people in that. I was not expecting that for a CW show anyway.
Do you feel, Keith, that it's surprisingly close to the Grell run?
I think in tone. I mean, I like that they used a lot of the original origin stuff, you know, stranded on the desert island stuff. But with a bit of...
that's not as good as the stuff that happened on the ship in the Zero issue.
Yeah, it's no oil platform and stranded for a week and a half. But I thought it was a neat twist to add a mystery element that more than just being stranded on a desert island happened on the desert island. That there was other stuff besides, you know, hunting lizards made him really great at archery. That there was... other stuff happened while he was there, and that'll get teased out. So I kind of like that element, adding some depth to the mystery background. And there's some actors I really enjoy in it. I enjoyed seeing Hatley Castle again, which is a beautiful castle that's in Victoria, BC, that is Oliver Queen's residence. It was also Lex Luthor's residence, and it was the X-Men mansion. And I visited it last year specifically to get my photo taken out of it. So now... retroactively, I've had my photo taken.
And you know what? I know they've been doing an awful lot of promotion for the show. It seems to me the ratings have been fairly good. Everybody, I haven't seen it. Everybody I know who I've talked to, though, goes, hey, that's pretty good. Like, nobody seems to go, it's the best thing ever. But everybody seems to have a thing like, that's a good, fun show that I wasn't expecting.
I think it's a good sign that two women in my office who, you know, absolutely have never touched a comic book, both said, hey, have you tried Arrow? Yeah. I really like it.
Yeah, but you know what else? Something else is that a couple people I know who were talking about it to me had no idea it was based on a comic book character, though. So, I mean, I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing. What do you think, Chris?
I don't think it really matters. I was taken aback when they announced that it was just going to be called Arrow. But now that I've seen the show... there's not a lot of denying that it is Green Arrow. The only thing you could possibly call him in the show other than Green Arrow is the Hood, really. Or Green Hood. I don't have a problem with the way they're going. And I think if the word green somehow turned off viewers, they're doing it okay. I mean, just losing it, maybe it was a good idea.
Well, as a CW show, it seems to be getting more popularity and better reviews than Beauty and the Beast, which I saw a few minutes of and sucked. Anyways.
Yeah. Since when does a scar make a beast?
Yeah, exactly. He's the best looking guy on the planet with a slight scar. Every woman would throw themselves at him and then look at the scar and say, yeah, I'll still do him. That's really a beast. Idiot.
I've had a couple fantasies.
I know. Well, you are a sick freak. Anyways, let's go on. Like I should say, this is so 54. It's no topic, no trouble. Or no topic, no problem. What is it? I can't even remember. Keith, you had it.
No topic, no problem.
It is no topic, no problem.
Where the hell is Brett?
Yeah, he's under the weather. He was going to join us tonight, and then he's under the weather. He really just didn't want to see you guys again. That's understandable. Anyways, we're going to move on here. Even though we don't have a topic, what we do have is the best sponsor any possible comic book podcast could possibly want, Comicosity. They have the best stuff on the internet for comic book fans. They are still getting momentum off the history of the DC Universe 3.0 and lots of other great interviews, reviews, and news on there. Comicosity, visit them at least 40 to 50 times a day is what I'm saying. That's really what you should do. And they, of course, are the sponsor for the other thing that we still have, the weekly news with Cup Reporter K.
It is time for the news, and we have a backlog, so I'm going to ignore a whole bunch of things that happened.
Okay, just pick the important stuff. Or since we don't have a topic, do them all. I'm good with it.
We can just fill things out by doing three-week-old news.
Yay!
I know Brett loves it when we have ancient news reports.
Yeah, well, he's not here to speak up now, is he?
Let's say he'll be our most vocal audience member this week.
I've heard Mobius died recently.
Well, that was one of the things he was definitely cutting out.
Mobius. Oh, that's in poor taste. Francisco Franco is still dead. That's a joke just for Longbox Graveyard. All right, well, the biggest news this week in comics was that Clark Kent has quit the Daily Planet. And I haven't read the issue yet. I'm told he's going to be a blogger.
Yeah, he's leaving. So basically, you'll remember in the 80s, they thought newspapers were going to die because TV was going to take over. So he left the Daily Planet to go become an anchorman on the news. And so we've been here. We've done that. It's not that big a deal. It didn't get any mainstream press then. I don't know why it's getting mainstream press now. The only difference is this time he's actually leaving the newspapers because they are going to die, unlike the 80s from the news. What was it that he was the Globe or something like that? The Global News Network? What was the
GBS? Yeah, Galaxy Broadcasting.
Galaxy Broadcasting that he joined in the 80s there. So it's no.
I actually thought that was Billy Batson.
No, Billy Batson was with a radio station.
Oh, that's right, he was. Yeah.
They just call it Wiz Radio.
Wiz Radio. Yes. Because they...
It's a simpler time when you could routinely say the word Wiz and not get good.
I can see their slogan now, taking a whiz all over the radio. Anyways, what the hell? Yeah, so...
I think it's deep, though, that I was out at a show last night and ran into a friend of mine who's a... who's
exactly
a newspaper writer?
A person you know who's a friend of a friend of a friend.
Okay, it's a person I'm familiar with, and it's an acquaintance. But he works for a newspaper and, you know, knows that I have an interest in comics. And so asked me about the Superman story. That was kind of neat that actually I hadn't really followed up. I'd seen the headlines, but that was about it. But here was someone who works for a newspaper saying, hey, you mean Clark Kent's quitting newspapers?
Because he'd like you to. No, seriously, I mean, 10 years
isn't
from
it
now.
Isn't it funny what the mainstream media grabs onto?
Well, it is strange what the mainstream media grabs onto, but it is also probably true. And 10 years from now, like, I mean, Brett's son, 10 years from now, when he's, you know, 14, I think he'll be 14, I'm not sure he'll know what a newspaper is. He might know what a blogger is. I mean, that is the point here. So, I mean, but what's the big deal? We've been here, done that, and we came back to him being at the newspaper before, and we can do it now, and, you know.
I will say, though, that I mean, for years we've complained that the only time that mainstream media would pay attention to what happens in comics is if someone died. And now we've had mainstream media covering they had the same-sex marriage in Astonishing X-Men. Mainstream media has covered the Superman-Wonder Woman kiss, and now they're covering this. I think it's cool that that it's getting out there, that it's not a character dying. It's the only thing that gets
The only thing I think that people should be upset about here is the idea that part of what makes Superman work and what we talk about, the great run that Byrne and Ordway and these guys had, really a lot of it revolved around the characters in the Daily Planet and Superman, a.k.a. Clark Kent's real life. So now if you take away the Perry White and the Jimmy Olsen, though Jimmy Olsen will just play video games with him, if you take away all these characters and that kind of that grounds the character in the setting as a blogger, that we could miss. But there's ways around that.
I haven't really recognized Clark Kent in a year anyway, so
yeah.
It'd be hard to see something missing. Then.
Good point. So what else is going on in the news?
Well,
something even older.
Something even older? How about Jim Lee and Scott Snyder are teaming up for a Batman-Superman project.
Hmm.
This will be an ongoing series. It will be starting sometime early next year. We're expecting possibly February, but it could be a little later than that. And this will be a Superman-Batman team-up book. Title unannounced so far.
Well, it can't be World's Finest, so I'm not interested.
You know what? That's true. I was just going to say that because it can't be World's Finest. It certainly hurts the idea for me. But you could just, I guess they just call it Batman, Superman, Public Enemies. it'd probably be good. I mean, who knows? I hope they give Lee enough time to draw it, and he's into it. He's a great artist when he's into it.
I like Jim Lee. I just find his stuff, 30 panels an issue. It's not necessarily the best bang for your buck.
He hasn't seemed inspired for a little while. I haven't been wowed by anything he's been doing on a regular basis since he was doing Hush with Loeb there on Batman, so.
And even that, I think, read better as a collection than it did.
That's true.
Issue by issue.
I'd agree with that, yeah.
There's a character we need in the new 52.
Huh. He will be back. I'm sure he will be. He was, I would say, in the last, since Bane, he's the most successful Batman-launched villain. Since Bane. And in some ways, I think he might be better in Bane. Because Bane kind of got off-sidetracked. Has Bane shown up in the new 52?
Yes.
What is he now? Is he back to being a villain again? He's not a good guy again like he was towards the end of the, before 52? Yeah. Well, see, this is actually the good thing about the 52, I have to say, that you can take a character like Bane and put him back the way he should have been when they before they decided, hey, let's make him a good guy or a hero, and he joined a hero group, because he's popular. Instead, you can just have him – there's a reason why he became popular as a villain. I mean, I was actually thinking this as I was reading – I can't remember what I was reading. I was reading the origin of somebody – I wish I could. It was an early Batman. It was a Batman World's Legends of the Dark Knight story in the early run, and where they were telling, kind of filling in a lot of the backstory on the first time that this character showed up against Batman or whatever. And so it was early encounters with Catwoman, and the first time that the Batmobile shows up. And I realized that they had carte blanche to give me that feeling of, oh my God, I wasn't there the first time the Batmobile was introduced, but I can be there when it's reintroduced, and that's a cool moment that I'm going to be part of this and part of this history. And that this relaunch, that this is something DC, and I've missed out on because I wasn't reading it, this is something that DC was presenting that I didn't get, that this is an opportunity for us to come in and go, this is the first time Batman meets Superman again, and it can be special. This is the first time that Bane shows up ever, as far as we're concerned, and that can be cool. And that's, you can always have fresh tellings as long as they're good. That's cool. What do you guys think?
Absolutely, I think it's. I like the you know, I've been referring to the new 52 versions of characters, and, you know, as people get reintroduced, they give you a bit of an idea of whether these characters are supposed to have been around before or whether they are meeting for the first time. You know, they haven't given us a map for what Death of Superman was or what Nightfall was. With Bane, there's enough detail that you know some version of Nightfall happened, but to what level, what characters were involved, it may be years that they'll, you know, get around to.
And you know what? If you wait 4 or 5 years and then introduce Hush, it'll be that much cooler, honestly. Because people will go, okay, I've heard about this character. Apparently he was a cool character, and this is the first time we're seeing him now, his first interaction. Like, to read the first interaction that Batman had with Catwoman was, like, very cool, you know?
Actually, I believe the words you used was traumatizing.
What are you talking about?
The first meeting of Batman and Catwoman, I believe you had a cat when they had sex.
Yeah, okay. I think you're missing my point, Chris. I'm not talking about this time, because that was obviously not the first time they had met. I'm talking about the first time I'm reading The Legends of the Dark Knight, and it's telling me that story. Even though in the current universe they had already met, they were able to go back and do year one type stories and fill in a lot of the blanks. And that's something that you know, that a relaunch and reboot really gives. So if you wait for a while to introduce, or I don't know, who's another character? Is John Henry Irons, has he been introduced yet?
Yeah, he's been in Action. But yeah, I think Action's had a couple of those. They've had John Henry Irons, and they've had Metallo. Like, that's one of the few things I actually really liked about Action was the way that they introduced Metallo quite step by step.
See, that's perfect. So when you're actually getting his origin, you're getting that. That's what I mean, is that it's cool that that you can have a chance to jump on board right from the beginning with the introduction of these characters, and or to see the backstory or to get it filled in. And it's like, because you couldn't have – I wasn't around in 1940. I mean, I'm old, but I wasn't around in 1940 when Batman and Catwoman first met. So it was nice to feel like I was jumping on board and got their first meeting as part of my, you know, that I was on board at the time. And I think that's something that kind of, like I say, I missed out on. Now, that said, it does have to be good. I'm going to complain in a book about a relaunch of one of my childhood favorites when we do a review later. So it does have to be good.
All right. Well, here's something that Mo will find to be good. I think that this is guaranteed to put a smile on Mo's face. Quantum and Woody have come to Comixology. The first 12 issues are available on Comixology now. Number one is available for free. And Bleeding Cool reported that there are two unpublished issues of Quantum of Woody that will be released with this wave when they all make it to Comixology.
That's
in the next
awesome.
2 weeks.
I wasn't even sure who owns the rights to the characters or the publishing rights or anything. Do you know that? Is that
apparently Valiant has been sitting on two unpublished issues that they had all the artwork and everything for. You know, presumably the creators are being paid for this dealio. But yeah, the first 12 issues went up this week.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
99. I think it's only 99 cents an issue. The first issue free.
I do know.
I read the first issue today. It still sucks.
Yeah, you're still an idiot. It's still awesome. And you know what else is? I know I'm never going to get probably fresh issues and fresh storylines with this. So this is cool, though. I hope some people discover it and give it a chance.
And let's see now. Well, probably the most contentious thing. This is one of the most freak-out reactions to a solicit that has ever happened. You know, this is New 52 level freak-out.
Freak out.
The solicitation for Superior
Sorry.
Superior Spider-Man, which is the new Dan Slott and I want to say Ryan Stegman Marvel Now book that will come out
Superior
after
Superior Spider-Man?
Superior Spider-Man.
Is he part of the Aryan race now, or
Superior Spider-Man? Well, we don't know. The only thing we know from the solicit is that Superior Spider-Man...
Spider-Man is a Nazi.
...feature Spider-Man, who is not Peter Parker.
Oh, that's stupid.
But is involved with Mary Jane.
Well, that's even stupider.
Now, poor Dan Slott is...
why the hell couldn't somebody make Captain Nazi an actual good villain? Like... Now, seriously, the guy is, he's the captain of all Nazis, and the Nazis are the most evil, disgusting things ever. Shouldn't this guy be like a great, crazy villain that scares the hell out of everybody? Come on.
I've never heard of him.
Oh, well, you're not a Captain Marvel fan.
He's a villain just with a big swastika on his chest, wasn't he?
Yeah, he had a big swastika on his chest, and I think they got rid of that because it was too offensive. I'm like, he was a Shazam villain, and DC took him over and turned him into just a complete wimp. He's getting beat up by, I think, Catwoman and stuff. It's no good. Anyways, still better than Spider-Man thing. There's only one. This is in the 616 universe, right?
It is in the 616 universe. Well, it's part of Marvel now.
Yeah, I think we've gotten used to the idea of different people being Spider-Man because I think for the last 20 years they pulled it how many times?
I think what's been most surprising to me is that people are surprised by it. Slott's getting death threats on Twitter. He's getting.
Well, that's stupid, too. It's a freaking comic book character, guys. Grow up.
Peter Parker's not going anywhere. It's just going to be one title. I'm okay. I was okay with Ben Reilly over in Scarlet Spider, so.
Yeah, I mean, we had Ben years ago, so I mean, we went through this already.
Yeah, exactly. No, they've done this.
Our generation.
And wasn't there a point where, and I wasn't reading Spider-Man at this point because, it kind of sucked. It's really sucked largely. Well, largely for a long time, but
they published 5,000 comics or something.
Yeah, it's really been a while. God, I love me some Spider-Man. Can I get some good stuff? I got some good Spider-Man in a comic book that wasn't a Spider-Man book this week, for instance. That it's like that's the right Spider-Man. Wasn't there a point though where he took on different identities? Like he was a character called Ricochet or something like that, and where he was like there. It's just another one of these things where it's like, hey, we're just trying something. We're throwing something out there. We're trying to get a little buzz and we're hoping people like it. So relax. It's just a comic book story.
And it's not like they changed his costume.
No, God, no.
I mean, that would be something to be upset by because that would be a permanent change.
Yeah. And that people really were upset at the time, but I thought it was a cool costume. But, that again, it's just, I mean, vote with your pocketbook. I think there's only one Spider-Man. I will only worry about Peter Parker, but vote with your pocketbook, folks. That's all you can do. Death Throats, grow up.
Yeah, here's another New York Comic Con bit of news.
But Superior Spider-Man is still a shite name.
Do you have any last thing on that, Chris?
Nope.
All right.
I'm on fire this week, folks. I miss doing this podcast. Talking comic books, having some fun. Week off. My dad is never allowed to get sick again. That's it.
We wish your dad well.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah. Selfish bastard. Get sick.
Our family to your family.
He's better now. We're allowed to insult him again. It's okay, Keith. I'm not sensitive about it.
I'm only used to insulting your mom. I don't have any your dad joke.
They all work. He swings both ways.
Me or my dad? All right. I'm so glad Brett's not going to probably...
Did your mom buy him a new dress? Did your mom buy your dad a new dress to make him feel better?
Let me tell you something. That robe he was wearing in the hospital looked a little bit... a little feminine, I got to say.
I got sent a great interview link for the very tail end of New York Comic Con. It was an interview with Dan DiDio and Jim Lee. And in this interview, they reference how close fans watch continuity and how they pick out any little thing that is off, so they have to be careful. And Dan DiDio said, you know, there was, we've been passing around this link where a fan has created a timeline of everything that's happened in the New 52 universe from the beginning of time up until the current, up until the present day. And that Jim Lee is sitting there nodding his head.
Okay, that means that they've seen it, which is cool. That was your work and your baby, and I'm damn proud of you for that. And you know what else, though? I got to say, they should be putting it up on their website, and they should be paying you guys for it.
They absolutely should do both of those things. But he said, when he said we've been passing around an email, I'm like, I desperately want to know who's on that CC list.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Honestly, somebody, I can't believe somebody wouldn't contact you guys. It's crazy. You know what? Didio dessert. Yeah. You have earned yourself a Didio Didio interview.
It's like the Dio.
Like the band?
It's like the band. It's like the band Dio.
Like the band Dio.
If you call them the Dio.
The Dio.
And you had, you know, a bit of an accent and called them the Dio. That little mnemonic should really help you remember the pronunciation.
What the hell was that?
So, I want to follow up on a story from the last episode where Chris said, just in passing, that DC Animated was being rolled up and that they weren't doing anymore.
I did say it was a rumor.
You said it was a rumor. Now, tell me, where did the rumor come from?
Kevin Smith.
See, now, you didn't mention that because, I mean, that immediately would have made me know that it was horseshit.
Yeah, exactly.
So at New York Comic Con, DC announced the next three DC animated direct-to-DVD projects.
Well, he means that he hasn't been asked to write or direct any of them because he has no talent.
So Dark Knight Returns Part 2 is the next one. Superman Unbound, which is based on the Geoff Johns Brainiac arc. From pre-New 52.
That one, where they brought back all the...
Candor.
Yeah,
the Return of
Candor. Yeah, it was circling the Earth, and there was like a battle between all the Superman Kryptonians and Earth. And I wonder where they go. I wonder if they're going to concentrate just on Brainiac, or they're going to go and bring all that other crap in.
Yeah, it'd be kind of cool if they set it up enough that they could then do what was that arc called? I've already forgotten.
I don't know. I can't remember what it's called either, but.
Krypton War or something like that.
Yeah.
I read it after the New 52. I was so upset that they
Well, that's the thing. I remember you were really upset because it had screwed with the continuity they had set up. But, I mean, it was almost like it was one of those things where, hey, since they're going to flush it anyways, you might as well go in this direction and do this crazy over-the-top story, which is what it was.
Yeah, like, and actually I quite enjoyed it, having what I could treat it kind of as an Elseworlds, because it didn't have any long-term ramifications. It was already wiped out of continuity anyway. So I could just let it be its own thing.
At the time, I didn't read it in continuity, and I was having the issues with it that kept you away. But the entire time, I did feel that was one of the better interpretations of Brainiac I had seen. He was really, really dangerous. And more than just smart, stronger than Superman as well. And it was interesting. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, so that Johns Frank arc, that's what's going to be the focus of the Superman Unbound. And then this one's been rumored for a while, Flashpoint.
Since I never read it, that'll be good. Does that mean that's probably what Chris is talking about? Because after Flashpoint, they'll have to reboot every new... animated project that comes out will have to be a reboot, right?
That's right. They'll have to reintroduce Superman. It'll be the
blogger.
It'll be the Grant Morrison version. So it'll be 14 hours long. It'll be rated X. It'll be more confusing than The Matrix was the first time you saw The Matrix. It'd be like David Lynch's Superman.
Yeah, that's a good analysis of,
I'd pay money for that.
Me too. I'd watch that back-to-back with Spawn, the animated HBO show. What else we got?
Well, it has been made official from, and we heard this a little while back, but BBC Worldwide and Quality Transmedia made the official announcement that they are working on an adaptation of Peter Panzer Faust. This is something that was announced at San Diego.
Live action film? But it
looked, yes.
Oh, good. I hope those guys are rich. Good for them. Of course, won't go and hang out with us now. Still, I hope those guys are rich. Good for them.
Well, they
Weeb and Curtis Weeb and Tyler Jenkins. I hope they're loaded.
Well, we can just say we knew them when. Hopefully, we can be part of their entourage.
Yeah, let's hope.
Is actually Motion Comics.
What's that? That's what they're doing?
Motion Comics.
Yeah, either way, I still hope they're loaded, or they will be in the future. They deserve it. Good dudes.
Live action.
Good dudes, not only talented, but good damn dudes, and that's even more important.
They actually call it two different things in this article I'm looking at, but live action scripted series is being created concurrently with, that's where I'm going, with a digital motion comic.
Okay.
So they're doing two different projects. That's why they're talking about two different things.
I'm trying to visualize what a live action Peter Pounzer Fest would look like. I got no idea. It's hard to visualize.
It is hard to visualize. It actually is more interesting as a series than as a movie. I think.
Well, I'm loving where they're going in the second arc. So.
And BBC has been doing some quality productions lately.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And other than Rob Liefeld says he's quitting comics, that's about it for the news.
Yeah, that's.
Is there anyone who he hasn't pissed off who could give him work?
Well, I just assumed he was going to go back and work at his own stuff. But maybe even
well,
he
took a. Him. There was several years where he didn't have a comic book project come out. Did that mean he was quitting, or he had just pissed everybody off?
Well, and he's been talking about a movie project that's in the works.
Oh yeah, that's going to happen.
Maybe he's just focused on that.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever, Liefeld. Whatever.
We shall miss ye.
No, we shan't. Anyways, that's it. That's it for the news.
And that's the news.
Awesome. Well,
I got something we can talk about just quick. Has anyone... We were talking about the animated projects. Mm-hmm. This week, we got a trailer for the Marvel Heroes Unite, Hulk and Iron Man. Has anyone seen this?
No.
Oh. If you listen to the podcast, go on YouTube, check it out. It will make your eyes bleed.
Good or bad?
What it is...
I don't know. I don't know what that means. I assume that means bad.
Yes, it does mean bad. It is... Basically, what it looks like is screenshots from a Marvel video game.
Oh, no.
Computer animated, Green Lantern style animations without the stylized portions of the Green Lantern. This
you mean
thing
the live
looks
action
bloody.
Movie? The...
No, I meant of the animated series.
Oh, okay.
This thing looks really bad. This, to me, looks like the worst thing they could possibly do to direct a video.
And who is the creative names on this, attached to this?
You know what? I don't know. It took me by surprise when they announced it right before
Keith,
the podcast.
Keith, you're a reporter. Why don't you dig up the facts? That's always good radio. Me and Chris will talk while you do that.
I can't imagine caring.
I'm curious. No, I am curious because I know they brought over some talent from DC. So if this is their first attempt at it, I think that would be actually quite telling. Like I say, I mean, there's no doubt that DC will always, it seems, do better animated projects. And it seems that Marvel is destined to do the better live action features. Agree, Chris?
If you had said what you meant to say, I would agree.
Why, what did I say? I said Marvel do the better.
You said Marvel
the
does
better live action features.
No, the way you said it, it meant they did worse ones. You had an extra word in there.
Oh, did I? Keith?
Yeah.
I don't. I don't look at the damn thing.
Yeah,
up.
He's making stuff up over there. Either way.
So of course, this is Jeff Loeb is the brains of the operation at Marvel Animation now. Mm-hmm. And we've got Adrian Pasdar from Heroes is the voice of Tony Stark. And the guy who usually does Hulk is doing Hulk. And one of the villains will be Zax. Maybe I can finally find out how to properly pronounce Zax.
Hey, when's the last time Zax showed up in the comic books?
No idea. It's been a long
time.
I love Zax, that character. I only know Zax because it was the last entry in the Marvel handbook.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I also know him because back when it was Luke Cage Hero for Hire, he took on Zax in an issue. It was awesome. Zax always lost the same way.
Wow, that character is as old as we are.
Oh, at least.
We're old. No, actually, I'm just looking at it. It made his debut the year we were born.
Wow, that's crazy.
That is ancient.
Yeah, the guy's old. He is old.
And I still don't know. I'm assuming Zax. I think.
Well, it's Zax.
You just go with Zax, though. Like, just
Zax.
I think it's.
What is Zax for those people who are uninitiated who don't know him? How would you explain him, Chris?
He would be the living embodiment of electricity. Beyond that, I don't think he even has a motivation.
No, that's not true. He is a former scientist who's the living embodiment of a. He's almost a little like Frankenstein because he loves the woman who he can't touch or love because he's electricity, but he doesn't really have the brains or anything else left to do anything except for, all he does is every time he shows up, he's focused on this woman. It's like his assistant or something.
Mr. Freeze.
Yeah.
If they could settle down, maybe he could get more grounded.
Hey. Rimshot. Boom. excellent. Leave the bad puns to me.
Give me the leader any day.
It comes to April 2013. We also got the Iron Man 3 trailer.
Because Chris just said that Zax is a crappy villain. I agree with you. He's a crappy villain. He's not the first one you think of, but visually, he should be one of the more interesting characters they could put on, especially with a 3D animated type thing. And I think that's probably what they're looking at. They're going, how awesome will this character look?
Hulk dogs look cool until you actually put them in a movie, though.
That was never a good idea.
They look. No, they didn't even look.
No, that was never a good idea.
I think that was the best Godzilla film I've seen in years.
Yeah, that was never. Yeah, Hulk's going to fight dogs. You know why? Because that Superman movie where he fights polar bears was shelved. So we'll just beat them to that. Awful. Awful.
Iron Man 3 trailer, Chris?
I saw it. I have huge warning signs all over the trailer. But the first two were good enough. I'm letting it go. I'm not passing judgment as of now, but I got I watched it and at no point did I go, this is going to be awesome.
Who's the director on this one?
Shane Black.
Okay. And who's the villain in this one?
Ben Kingsley as the Mandarin.
He looks cool. All
right. Pardon me?
Yes, look really cool. That comes to us the day before my birthday, 2013.
Who cares about your birthday? It's my birthday this weekend. That's what we've got to talk about.
I care about my
birthday. Oh, good point. Happy birthday.
My loved ones, and by that I mean loved one.
And even that may be a stretch. Let's go on here. What else we got going on? Any other topics there? Because, I mean, we've already gone quite a while through all this. We could just hit all the books we got to review, and I think we'd have a good show.
Yeah, we shelved every topic that we had talked about for this week because Brett couldn't make it. So
yeah, so it's kind of, that's why it's, well, it's no topic, no problem.
No topic, no problem.
Because we didn't want to say no, Brett, no problem, part 3 or 2 or whatever it is. So, yeah, let's hit the Wii views and hit them a little more in depth than we sometimes do because we have the time to. What do you guys say?
We also got more books this week than we normally do.
Yeah, we do. I mean, I'm not sure how many of them we'll talk about. We'll kind of see what inspires us. Chris, why don't you open it up? What inspired you?
Well, actually, what I'm most excited about is hearing your review on DC Comics Presents from last week. That's the one I immediately went, I need to hear what Mosin has to say on this one. Because I know you have a love of the Blue Devil that is unparalleled.
Yeah, pretty close. He's one of my childhood favorites. And I was very interested in this book because Mark Andranko, I'm not sure how, Andranko? How would you pronounce his name?
Good to guess.
Right. Yeah. The other way, his Manhunter was just fantastic. Probably one of the most brilliant book that nobody read that DC's put out in many, many years. Just an awesome, awesome book, and he's a really talented guy. And so I was really thinking that Blue Devil was in good hands, and I was highly, highly disappointed with this book. You retained the name Blue Devil and the name Dan Cassidy, and you didn't retain one other thing. And I'm not saying you need to retain everything, but if you're going to retain Blue Devil and Dan Cassidy, like if you're going to retain the name Dan Cassidy, his alter ego, why even bother retaining that if you're not going to retain anything else? This guy's the son of a movie mogul, I think, and we don't know how he has this suit that he's running around in that gives him powers or where the suit came from. They don't go into it in any way. Whereas before he was a stuntman who was wearing this suit for a movie who got trapped in it mystically. Before, you know, he was a guy probably in his late 20s. Now he's a kid, another kid superhero. We haven't seen that before. Who talks really, really off the cuff and cool and hip. Really, really forced. Trying way too hard. So it's really poor characterization and dialogue. Just the characterization in general is just very generic character. This is just your generic... The one character, Black Lightning, is your generic... I'm an uptight guy, and then Blue Devil's the very generic, I'm a loose guy. You know what? At least read Quantum and Woody, because at least that was making fun of these generic stereotypes instead of just being these generic stereotypes like these guys are. This is poorly written, poorly plotted, poorly characterized, poor dialogue. This is a poor book, and like, I have no reason to like it as a Blue Devil fan because it's just the name. And I'm really disappointed, and especially since I know how good Andranko can be. And I think a lot of people are, because he's a popular name and it's kind of hip to be like him, I think a lot of people will read this book and think to themselves, I think it's pretty good. And you know what? It is passable. The problem is I want more than passable. And I think if anybody reads Manhunter or, read anything of high quality, it can be from this year or it can be from – read Punisher Warzone, which we're going to talk about, which was fantastic. Read, Miller's Daredevil. Read anything of super high quality, then go back and read this and tell me that it isn't extremely average. And for being average, I could give it a 5 out of 10, but instead I'd give it a 3 out of 10 because being average is actually worse than being average is actually worse than being average in some ways. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does, actually. I actually have, like, almost the opposite review. I would give it that 5 out of 10.
It's the complete opposite in that I thought it was slightly better.
Well, no, I mean, the comic book itself is actually not great, but I thought as a relaunch of Blue Devil, I mean, Blue Devil has been kicking around the DCU for 100 years, and we haven't had a consistent power even for Blue Devil.
Well, I think
we bring it back. It is once again the suit. There's no mystical overtones.
Yes.
We got the right guy in the suit.
To it, and it's not the right guy in the suit. Chris, there's nothing similar. How is it the right guy in the suit when we've taken a 20-year-old, a 28-year-old, a little bit jaded, but likable person, instead making him a smart aleck, wisecracking kid? How is this possibly...
I'm saying we could bring back your Blue Devil a whole lot easier from this point than we could from the Blue Devil we had in Shadow Path.
This is closer to the Kid Devil character that Johns created in Teen Titans, personality-wise and style-wise. And also, the uniform looks stupid. Somebody tell me, how it is that any human being can put on that devil suit that he has and have his walk around in that suit with feet that are about a half inch thick or wide. And that's his feet, and it can carry him. If he actually was a demonic character, that'd be fine. If it's a suit, you put him on, and you have feet, you still need to have feet that look like feet. Like, and the horns, good Lord. You know the problem with the horns? Too small. They were only the size of the Empire State Building, not nearly big enough to look stupid. If they just made them a little bit bigger, then they finally would have looked stupid.
I love the texture horns, actually. I thought they looked really cool. I did. I thought this update was indeed just that, an update.
It's a reinvention.
I don't think you could have the huge, I mean, Blue Devil was huge before, and also acrobatic here. I don't think that plays in modern comic books. I think shrinking him down and making him a little bit more of a Nightcrawler character actually worked for the look. I thought the look cool. It looked cool. I think this is a whole lot more respectful than what they did to Superman or some of the other new 52 characters.
But the feet, even if you don't mind the horn.
Now we're just nitpicking.
No, come on, seriously, man. It's just stupid. And you know what? Same with Black Lightning.
We need a tiebreaker on this. What did you think of the book?
Black Lightning looks like a 13-year-old who's actually a high school teacher.
Yeah, I purposely didn't mention him. I have a love of Black Lightning that I'm not willing to even acknowledge that character in this book.
I would say I like the design, but I do agree with you, Mo, that I had to go back through the issue and because I had an expectation of the mystical part. I'm like, well, so when he puts on the costume, it has the mystical element, and that's why his feet look like that. But no, okay. Looks like Pan's Labyrinth. I like the design. I don't like the explanation of it. It's just a costume. I don't care for the character. They are pretty generic characters. I don't know. It's kind of paint by numbers.
Well, it is. Let's just talk about. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we talk about paint by numbers. The villain in this, Tobias Whale, is the Kingpin.
Now, is that an existing character?
I am not sure. I'm not familiar with the character.
I've seen him before, but he's been a pretty unmemorable
character. I'm going to look it up right now.
I couldn't tell you where I
saw him. I can also do some investigative reporting. But that said, regardless, is there one thing about this character that doesn't make him the Kingpin? The way he's drawn, the way he acts, the way everything.
It's a bit more blustery than the Kingpin, but yeah,
it's
kind of like the original Kingpin. Yeah.
He has three panels in this book. It's not really too much.
He's going to play a huge role in the future, Chris. And it's
yes, but we haven't seen enough to make just this determination. You know what? You could have a valid point, but I'm waiting two issues before I just discover that. I'm not willing to, just because we've read this story before does not mean it's going, I'm willing to concede that is going the place we think it is.
Yeah, he has been around before.
that is the best full quote ever. Just because I've read it before doesn't mean it's
going
to
go. You know what? I'm going to look. He's been around since.
Just because we think we know where
Here's
it's
the thing.
Going.
He's been around since Black Lightning number one in 1977. And awesome. He was DC's version of Kingpin back then. So he's still he was a shite character then. He's a shite character now.
I thought he looked
no,
cool.
He didn't.
I have a love of albino.
Well, that's understandable. It's just an awful.
So yeah, I don't like the story or anything. I do like the design. I think that's appropriate.
Wait, come on, the feet.
Well, it's the feet. If it was a mystical costume, I wouldn't have thought anything of it. Like that's why I kept waiting for some kind of a spell comes over when he puts the mask on or something, but that doesn't happen in the book. I think I wrote one into it in my head, to make the suit make sense costume wise, but, it's not there. So, I don't know, it was, I don't think I'm back to the second issue. I think I've had enough already.
Yeah, I have no reason to go back.
I'd have to hear something significantly. I'd have to hear a significant change in what's happening in this book.
Yeah, and you know what? The thing is, Enrico is talented enough. He could get his feet on going on it eventually. But, yeah.
But it's like three issues long or something, so.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
It's a three or four, sure.
We'll see. Okay, I'm just going to read you a little bit of this this wonderful dialogue, just to get my point across. "You guys suck," says Blue Devil. "I thought 6-1 would be a lot more fun than kaboom. Whoa, fireproof too? This suit rocks." "Dude, I don't work for Whale. I'm trying to bring him down. Just chill out." That's crappy dialogue. Crap.
That's gold right there.
That's gold. Nothing but gold. So. All right. We got my review. And, well, basically it's a general thumbs down on overall a disappointment or thumbs down on DC Universe Presents. Now, I will say this. Matt Santorum, who I respect a great deal, did give this 8.5. out of 10 on Comicosity, and he had some really good points. I disagreed with them, but he had some really good points regardless. And so you can always go on there and read his review as well, and then in the comments you'll see a little bit of my review and why I disagree with him. But, you know, it's too easy. Fan worship of I think that's what we're seeing too much of nowadays. If there's one thing that pisses me off about current comic book fans, and it's probably always been around, but I didn't notice it. I think Chris will say it always has been, so I'll ask him. Fan worship of creators instead of judging the quality of the books, I think it's a real issue right now.
I think it's where it's how Grant Morrison got to be where he is right now.
Exactly. What do you think, Chris?
Oh, definitely. I know I'm guilty of it. I've hung in on books long past the point of them sucking just because a writer, usually a writer, has earned my trust.
How many hundreds of dollars have I thrown at John Byrne books thinking it's going to change?
Uh-huh. Yeah, and sometimes
would,
it does. And
giving it a review, probably give it higher than it really is because you want to like it, or you think you should.
Mm-hmm. No, I wouldn't do that, because I'm a professional. I can understand you amateurs might do that, but I take that into account.
My personal reading
and my professional reading are completely different.
I would say Trio, I definitely. Because I saw a glimmer, and sometimes a glimmer is enough to give me an extra point or point and a half on a review. But then as I read a couple more, I'm like, no, there's nothing new here. It's a rehash of things he did 20 years ago.
Did anyone finish Cold War?
Cold War I did like. So, you know, every once in a while.
Every once in a while.
I did finish it, but yeah, I mean, the ending of Next Men was horrifically bad. It was so incredibly
I haven't
bad.
Gone back to what he redid on it simply because I really enjoyed the original run and I'm worried this will ruin it.
Well, there's like three arcs. I mean, the 9 issues he did to kind of come back and finish that story, I really liked. And then there was about a 4-issue arc of Aftermath that was really awful, and it went nowhere. So I would say read the 9 issues, but skip
Aftermath. Okay. All right, Keith, why don't you give us another book? Or wait, we're ready to do another book. I'm just checking my mental notes. Yes, I covered everything I wanted to bitch about on Blue Devil. Another book.
Well, let's talk A Babies versus X Babies.
Oh, good lord!
This is Scotty Young, who does those very cute alternate variant covers on Marvel books. Did a bunch on AVX, and this book I actually didn't look it up, but I'm just assuming that this book comes out of one of the variant covers he did for an early issue of AVX the Avengers babies and the X-Men babies fighting. This was adorable. I just giggled the whole time I was reading it. There's nothing to it. I wouldn't want a series. I wouldn't want a miniseries. I found it just a really cute book and filled with characters that, you know, I kept stopping and deciding which character I like the kid design of the most. Kid Northstar, I think, was my Baby North Star was one of my favorites. You know, soft spot for Alpha Flight. And, yeah, I liked it. I thought it was just... You know,
let me go next. I can see by Mo's face he has a couple things to say, and I'll be really quick because I know he wants to get to it. I'll agree with Keith. I love the book. I had a great, great amount of fun, although I will say do not buy this book because that means they'll make more of them. I love one issue of this. We don't need any more. We don't need miniseries. We don't need a regular series. We do not need another X Babies, A Babies book. Let it die here. That said, for 22 pages, I was enthralled. Very cute. But other people shouldn't buy it because I don't want more.
Yeah, I'll tell you why. I'll,
no, go. Yeah, explode.
I'm not going to explode.
That pumpkin head of yours is about to blow. I want to see
gonna
it.
I'm not going to blow.
Come on, let's
I'm
go.
Not, I'm not going to do that. I am going to say, though, don't buy it. It's too bad. Because it is fun, but how much was it again? How much is it? Like $3 or whatever?
$4?
Did it take 37 seconds to read? It's a fun 37 seconds, but you'll read it once. You will never read it again. And it takes no time. Here's the problem. It's not enough content for the price. And it's not that it isn't enjoyable for the 37 seconds. I mean, I think it took me that long. It's fun. But you know what it should be? Something free on their website, because it's not really a book that's – there's no reason to publish something like this. It's just not – there's nothing there. It's nothing there.
$2.99.
So $3 for 37 seconds. You know what? There's a joke in there somewhere, but let's move on.
I've paid – well, I mean, that's like a, that's a buck every 10 seconds. Let me do the math up to what's $100 times? No, never mind. Go on.
Let's move on. Let's move on. I guess I'll do the next one. Let's talk about National Comics Madam X. For me, this I'm not sure how many. I can't remember how many pages it was. It did feel like a long book, so I'm guessing it was oversized. It certainly didn't feel like 24 pages, at least to me. And it.
These
pardon
are
me.
These are extra pages.
It took quite a while for me to get into it, but I did end up liking it. I kind of liked the characterization. I liked the pace. It's a little bit of a slower pace, a little bit of a kind of a mystery storyline, very characterization-based. The art is interesting, if not spectacular, but suitable for the story. I enjoyed it because it felt different than what I normally read. And I appreciated that. Certainly felt like it could fit in the Vertigo universe without any extra violence or sex or profanity thrown in for no reason. You know, which sometimes you have and sometimes it is for no reason. Sometimes it fits. In this book, it felt like that. I think it's a good book. I think a lot of people will like the book. Then they left it also with a hook at the end that should make me want to come back. This is an odd book for me because I can't tell you why it is that as much as I say it was good, I didn't find it compelling enough to think, boy, I can't wait to read another.
That's good. There aren't any more.
Well, they certainly left you with a cliffhanger. What do you think, Chris?
Actually, I thought the quality of the book itself was all right. I didn't mind it, although I do have a huge objection to taking a truly interesting character from the DCU. I love this character. I've seen her in many, many comic books. She's always a favorite supporting character. I haven't liked her most recent appearances in Justice League Dark. But that said, in this book, they turn her basically into a private detective. And I object when you have something special and turn it into something completely generic. This story would have been better told with like maybe a Dr. Occult or something. Really didn't like it from that point of view. But I mean, I read it. I enjoyed the story, what there was of it. I'm glad it's a one shot. I kind of doubt this this character will not continue as it is written here, and I'm kind of glad of it. Keith?
I was really confused about whether this is supposed to be Madame Xanadu or not. Because it doesn't match at all what they're doing in Justice League Dark. They insist on calling her Madame X for the entire book. They never refer to her as Xanadu. So I couldn't figure out if it was supposed to be a different character.
I just assumed, actually. That's a very good point.
Yeah, like I honestly couldn't figure out whether it was supposed to be a different character or not. I mean, if it's a different character, it's a complete copy. But, I didn't notice if there was a character created by credit, which I guess would be the dead giveaway. It is a little generic. It's a little old fashioned 70s kind of story. I enjoyed it for what it was. I really liked the art. Trevor Hairsign, I haven't encountered him before. And I kind of dug the style. I might be interested if they return to it. I won't miss it if they don't. I felt like I accidentally picked up a comic from like a bin of 1970s stuff.
I think it definitely had that feel. How about the cliffhanger? Good or bad, guys?
I like that they're doing it. I don't know what the mechanism is to determine whether they're going to do more books.
Yeah, I don't even mean from that perspective. I mean, though that's an interesting perspective. I just mean from, is it good? Is it intriguing? Do you go, wow, I want to see where this goes?
At this point, I just sort of went, oh, okay, they're doing this with all the books. Mm-hmm. I thought it was just thrown in there last minute. I didn't care one way or the other. It's like, well, I'm not going to find out what's happening there. So really, the book ended at a page earlier for me.
Yeah, it was a little tacked on. I'll agree.
Okay.
That page didn't really need to be there. The last page or two.
And all the national comics have ended this way, so it wasn't even a surprise.
That's true. Yeah, no, good point. Good point. All right, Chris. Well, let's move on, I guess, to our next book. It looks like, what do we got left? Punisher Warzone, Wolverine Max, a few others. What do you feel like doing?
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna go with one that I know we're gonna fight about, unfortunately. I'm going with Punisher Warzone number one.
Yeah,
I love Greg Rucka. I love Greg Rucka's run on Punisher right up till this
really?
Point. Yes, I'm of the personal belief that any time that Punisher interacts with a regular Marvel character, it's probably a mistake. In this book, we have Spider-Man getting punked for no apparent reason, and Wolverine the
Tattletale. What do you mean, no apparent reason? They give an excellent reason.
I thought I was just Spider-Man would. I mean, I can't believe that Punisher and Spider-Man, when they go at it, it wouldn't be a better fight. That's an issue right there. They just throw it away. I did not enjoy it. Matt Fraction actually did a fairly good Punisher versus the Avengers type story a little bit earlier. I liked how he fit in there. This, I think, is a mistake. Punisher versus the Avengers. I don't see this ending well for anybody. This, I just didn't like it. I felt a lot of the characters were behaving out of character, such as the aforementioned Wolverine basically tattling on the rest of the Avengers. I thought it was him behaving out of character, but Wolverine hasn't done anything within character since he joined the Avengers, so maybe I'm completely off base. Mo?
Yeah, I and I think this was just a spectacular book. In fact, I remember putting it down afterwards. It is a miniseries. It's a self-contained miniseries, a five-issue miniseries. I remember putting it down and going, wow, is this how good the rest of Rucka's stuff's been with Punisher? Because I rarely crave a Punisher story, personally. I thought every single characterization was absolutely spot on. Spider-Man was spot on. I thought the fight was completely logical. I thought everything was logical. The dialogue was terrific. The pacing was terrific. Captain America, I thought how Wolverine acted, perfect. The art as well. I just thought this artist was tremendous. I love the way he drew Spider-Man's mask. And this was a Spider-Man character that I really relate to. This felt like, I thought this was great. I don't really know what else to say. I thought this was a terrific, terrific book. And I hear what you're saying, but I just don't get it. The words are coming out of your mouth, but I'm wondering if you're speaking English. Keith?
Well, I'm annoyed at myself that I didn't catch up on the regular Punisher run before.
Maybe you're better
this,
off not, now, like me. Maybe you're better off
I've,
not.
I've
like
ruined
me.
The ending. Well, I know. I was really enjoying that run. And I'd fallen an issue or two behind.
One of the things I just want to say,
now
you know,
I know
I wish I had said this, sorry. Cut you off. To me, this doesn't seem like, you say it's Punisher versus the Avengers, but it's not. Like, it is, the Avengers show up, but we're going to get Black Widow next issue. I don't know where he's going long term here. It's totally logical that they're saying that somebody has to bring him in. And we can't put him in a Rikers Island because he'll just kill people there. So there has to be a solution, a final solution to the guy. To me, it feels like it's been built up for a long time. But it's next issue is Scarlet or Black Widow. I don't know that after Black Widow that there's going to be another Avenger or it's going to go in another direction or she's going to continue around or they're going to team up. I don't have that sense. It's not against the Avengers. Spider-Man's being told to stay out of it from here on in. Nobody else. Wolverine's obviously not going to fight him. Nobody else. You know, Thor, Captain America, all these guys. Captain America said to send all our superpowered guys over and would be overkill. I don't think we're going to see any of the other Avengers. Like, okay, go ahead, Keith.
Well, I'm really curious where this book's going to go because this has been talked about for a long time, and I'm hoping that it has a good resolution. I know that this book itself is one of the reasons Rooka is leaving Marvel, though, because he's been building to something with Punisher. And was basically told, you're not going to get to use Punisher after Warzone because we want to put him on a team. And Rooka's like, okay, you've convinced me I'm not going to work for you anymore. Because I've been working for, a year and a half on something. And I'm hoping he gets a good ending. And I hope that he was able to build an ending prior to the decision that they made to put Punisher on that team with Red Hulk and whoever else the anti-heroes.
Yeah, I really don't
team.
Want to read that.
That's Rooka's. I've heard an interview with Rooka a couple weeks ago, and it is essentially that he wanted to continue with the Punisher. He had other places he wanted to go, and they wanted to wrap it up and roll Punisher into a team. I know they've been talking about this for months and months. They had that big teaser campaign with the shield and Spider-Man's mask and all that. I really like the Punisher run up to this point. And I'm sorry to see Rooka go. Not intrigued by where the next plan is for Punisher. Punisher's a character I come and go on, really based on writer. The character itself doesn't draw me, but the right writer does.
But this book itself, you're saying you're talking more about the future. How about this book itself? Did you enjoy this?
This book I quite liked. I will agree with Chris that the characterization of Wolverine, I think, is off. Not that characterization is,
I don't think,
in a character that's published 8 times a month like Wolverine is hard to maintain. But it's certainly not the character that's been appearing in Wolverine and the X-Men, where he wants to put aside the killing ways and found a school and train young superpowered characters. That's not the guy who's like, well, sometimes you gotta kill people. We saw a bit of that in AVX, though. So, yeah, it's a character that he seems to waffle on the whole, should people be killed. I really liked the section with Spider-Man. I thought that was really well done. I completely disagree with Chris. I thought that fight was one of the more realistic fights. I mean, Spider-Man can lift, 20 tons. The idea that this regular guy, without cheating, which is what usually happens when he fights Spider-Man, would have even as that fight would be more than a second long. It's a bit silly. So I like the way they handle that. And I like the motivation of the character. I like Spider-Man's motivation in this. That, you know, he's just been pushed too far and it's time to put this guy in the vault. Do they have the vault anymore?
I don't think they have the vault anymore, no. It's too bad. That was a cool idea.
Good idea.
Yeah. All right, Chris.
No Project Pegasus, but it was pretty good.
Any response to what we said?
No, I think I said it before, and I see your points. I think it just comes down to the fact that I don't think Punisher belongs in the Marvel Universe. Aside from the Daredevil story,
you want to see him completely.
I just prefer solo Punisher when he's well written, and if he isn't well written, I don't want to see him
much
at all.
Like,
I think he's one of the most overrated characters that Marvel has.
You don't ever want to see him as a superhero or interact with superheroes, just like you probably don't really want to see Green Arrow interact with superheroes. You want to see the Grail one. I get that. All right, Keith, let's talk Wolverine Max.
Wolverine Max. Well, this is kind of a piece of crap.
And we're done.
Did anyone else open up the cover and go, what the hell is this?
And we're done, aren't we?
It had a couple of moments, but the art is ridiculously uneven.
Oh, my God. He's doing it on purpose? Didn't mean it didn't suck.
It has a couple of moments, but I think those couple of moments I've read in 10 other Wolverine comics.
Yeah, not one original scene or idea. Except for all the incredible amount of profanity, which is just profanity for no reason except for profanity.
Yeah, it's like a mashup of like two or three big Wolverine arcs. If this is the revamp of the Marvel Max line, kind of hope they just let it go.
My question is, does this at all seem to, I mean, from what I've been getting, I don't follow Marvel as closely, but this doesn't really seem to fit in with, like, is this in continuity?
No, the Max stuff isn't.
Okay.
The Max stuff is a separate continuity.
Because this made it seem like everybody was amazed with this Miracle Man, meaning that he's the first superhero-powered person to ever be on the planet, is almost what they made it seem like in this universe. You know what I mean?
Yeah, same as Punisher Max. This stuff is, and Deadpool Max, these are separate from continuity.
Yeah, but forget about separate from continuity. There's no other heroes, there's no other mutants, there's no nothing. You know what I mean?
Oh, who the hell knows?
Yeah, suck.
they don't establish any rules for the book other than, you know, Victor Creed's there and says he's got the same powers.
Was that Creed?
So there are other people. They keep calling him Victor. I assume that would be Victor Creed.
I did too, but he looked so incredibly
different
that I wasn't 100% sure the entire book, and by the end I didn't care.
Different continuity. So he's got a weird beard. Got
weird
a
beard,
guy.
Old guy. Yeah, exactly.
Sorry,
he looks like
mustache. And wasn't he in a uniform?
He looked like a colonel from you know,
like an old prospector.
Yeah, awful. Let's move on from this book. Nobody has anything else to good to say. Let's talk about something I really liked. Unless anybody, you have something else to say? No. Yeah. Swerve from Arcana. It's a 99-cent download, and I think there's a graphic novel coming out of it or something. I'm having a little trouble getting the. Chris recommended this to me because it's got, you know, rustling connections, I guess you would say, and it takes place in an old school rustling territory, and then there's a lot of behind the scenes, but it's a realistic look at that territory. It's a realistic look at rustling. It's very, very inside. So a lot of the stuff that they're getting and the way they speak and the carny speak that is old wrestling, for a guy like me who obviously hosts We Talk Wrestling and is a huge, you know, wrestling fan forever, it made a lot of sense. And I just love the pacing and the characterizations and the logic behind it. And I thought it was a really terrific book by somebody who loves wrestling and loves comic books and managed to meld them together in a way that seems silly. It actually seemed realistic and gritty. And I thought this was a terrific book. It's called Swerve from Arcana. I give it a high recommendation. What do you think of it, Keith?
Well, I did want to ask, are those the terms that they use, I know I've heard you use the terms the baby face and a couple of those other terms.
Baby face, heel, get over.
Do those date that far back?
Those date back literally to the Carney days, where wrestling first started. So those are date back farther than that, because the book's taking place between 1972 and 1976.
Overall, I liked it. I don't know the very end of it. I was a bit unsure at the end of the story. So I don't know how this is a 6-part story. I don't know whether it was originally structured as one long story, but I kind of like I was more interested in the human story part of it than I was the mobster part that they're kind of playing out. Like I'm a big fan of the film The Wrestler. I think that part was more engaging for me. The washed up football player who's trying to make a few bucks in wrestling. That part I found engaging. I thought it was an interesting character. It was one of the better developed characters in this kind of size book that I've seen in a while. Really got a good sense of who this guy is. Not so much the motivations of those around him, the other wrestlers. But I think maybe that's just representing a culture rather than, trying to develop characters. Like, they're kind of intentionally a little stereotype.
I think you're right,
I'm interested in continuing. I think it was, I was interested in the character. Like I said, I'm not sure if it goes too far into the, I'm hired muscle for the mob kind of area. I'm not too sure about that, but I was interested.
See, I don't think it will, because I think it's obvious that they know and love, that world too much to completely ignore it. So.
Yeah, so I'll definitely try another issue and see which direction they're going.
And let me tell you something. Some of the characterizations, like the booker promoter / promoter's shooter, wanting to go in there and prove to you he can beat you up at any point in time, and you take it to become your one of the boys, that is tradition in the wrestling. And that was presented realistically and well. And that's the type of thing that was really spot on for me. So, Chris, what do you think of it?
You know what? I think Keith had it in one. Really interested in the wrestling stuff. If they go into the mobster area, I'm done. My one criticism of the book would be it is a little bit of a gimmick book.
It is.
It is target marketed it directly at Mo.
Mm-hmm.
And I found the wrestling stuff really interesting. If they keep that, I might be in for the full series. But I personally don't think it's heading that way. The mobster stuff felt false to me, unlike the wrestling stuff. If they add too much more of that, I'm just dropping the book.
No, I can't disagree with that.
Didn't enjoy that at all.
I think the mob stuff definitely did seem a little more forced, a little more cliched. It's obvious that they don't know that as well as the other stuff. Definitely right.
And I mean, I really did enjoy some of the terminology. I think I've heard the word you use the term swerve in when talking about wrestling, and this uh-huh. gave me a precise definition of it. I really enjoyed that. Really, if without all the side violence and the guns and the drugs, this would be a number one. I think that's what they should do next. A second series by these guys where they just solely focus on the wrestling could be fantastic. A little bit of melodrama in there.
And
adding
and
all this other
it,
stuff. I think this is rookies working at something they don't quite have a finished product yet.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to bring it up on We Talk Wrestling as well and tell people who listen to that who maybe haven't read a comic book in a while to read it. I may even try and get a hold of the people who created this book because I was that big a fan. So I thought it was really good stuff. So anyways, you guys want to do any more or should we call? I think we're probably a long enough show here at this point, guys. What do you think? Call it a night?
I don't think I have too much to say about anything else. But,
me either.
Last couple of weeks.
I have no burning issues.
No burning issues. Well, Chris, give us your plugs.
I'm Chris at WeTalkPodcast.com. Chris underscore WeTalk on Twitter. I enjoy your tweets. Please follow me. I am almost catching up to Keith in numbers of followers. Very excited about that. Keith, your thoughts?
Well, please follow me on Twitter. I have to stay ahead of Chris. I am Cub Reporter K on Twitter. And I haven't been on Twitter too much. I've been absorbed in other side projects. You can email me, Keith, at wetalkpodcast.com. And I am finalizing some details on a blog project that will be on wetalkpodcast.com called 900 Things. So look for details of that coming sometime prior to November 4th. My intention is to launch this on November 4th, so probably a preliminary blog prior to that, telling you the insane project I have ahead of me.
It is insane. It's going to be a lot of fun, though. It's going to be a lot of fun. All right, I'm Mo at We Talk Podcast, M-O, or Mo underscore We Talk. Sand, M-O, no E-M, my name. And listen to the Comics Podcast Network. Get that one out there right away. Go check them out for other shows. Of course, We Talk Podcast has a lot of good stuff. We talk fantasy football and wrestling and all sorts of great stuff. Thanks to our friends who help us out, Freaks TV Channel E, Lombok's Graveyard, Joe Mulvey. I'm looking forward to talking to him coming out of New York Comic Con in the near future. I don't know. Is there anything else? Like us on Facebook. Hit the social media share buttons to tell people about the show if you like it. We really appreciate it. Check out Comicosity, of course, because it's the best. Seriously, the best. And other than that, I don't know. I love you, Dad. I'm glad you're getting better. We're OUT.